Hey everybody, I'm Kurt Thomas and you're watching Good Company with my buddy Scott Bowling.
Hey guys, my name is Scott Bowling and you're watching Good Company. It's been a year and we're back. I've been doing a lot of Zoom interviews in 2023, but we're here with the guy that started it all. Kurt Thomas.
Scott Bowling.
Yes.
I was just lucky enough to be there at the beginning.
No, you encouraged me to be there. You wrote a song called Good Company. I stole that idea. I asked you, whatever.
Oh, you didn't steal it. I'm gladly.
7 years.
Oh, brother.
Seven years
I'm
of
really
Good Company,
proud of you,
by the way.
Brother.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, man.
Dude.
Yes.
So glad to be.
You're drinking some wine today?
I am.
Yes.
You're having a
good old beer.
Good old beer and
got some notes.
Got some notes?
I brought notes. First question. I'm just kidding.
Bring it all.
Dude,
bring it
all. Did you have a good Christmas?
I had a great Christmas.
I love the song you wrote called Die Hard Christmas.
Ah, dude. Love that song. Love
okay,
that song.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie, right?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. When did you write that song?
I wrote it on Christmas Eve.
Did you? How long did that song take you?
It took me the time that night. It was like I had a job and that was to watch the door. And it was just make sure everything was okay. Make sure that Santa did his job. And my job is just to watch and make sure that the baby stayed asleep. And I was like, okay. And I stood there and I was like, well, since I'm here and I can't see the television, I might as well write a song. And then I came up with Die Hard Christmas.
It's a great song, man. I encourage everybody to look it up on YouTube.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you, brother. The Mark Mundy recorded that. Amazing. He has a studio. It's not far from here. An incredible job. I mean, he is one of the best guitar players around.
Is he?
And, dude, I mean, just his brother's one of the best mandolin players around. But Mark, man, anytime I need a guitar player, I'm like, dude.
That's your guy.
I was like, well, if I need a sub, I'm like, dude, I'm like, Mark, can you come play with me? And he's like, yeah, I'll show up, my man. He can rip, man, just rip. And he has a studio in his basement, just great studio. And I let him hear Die Hard Christmas. Mm-hmm. And, man, he recorded that thing. And he put all that guitar work on it. It sounded so cool. He just...
You don't play electric guitar, right? Just acoustic.
I wish I did.
Have you ever tried?
No. Well, yeah, if somebody's got one laying around, I pick one up and try, but it ain't my thing. But I am working on getting better at playing acoustic right now.
Dude, this is reminding me of our first interview. And like, I was like, you work with Dennis, what's his name?
Dennis Morgan.
He has over 21 number hits.
Yes.
It was my first interview, right? So I'm like kind of sweaty and I'm trying to think of this whole dialogue. He's got 21 number hits. He's worked with Lynyrd Skynyrd. I don't know all these people.
21 number
ones. Do you still talk to him?
Of course, I wrote with him this week. Wrote a song with him this week.
You're still writing music now, and it sounds really good. Yeah, you send it to me.
Yeah, you have your certain people that's in your, if you're a writer, you have your certain people you trust, at least me, anyway, and a lot of the songwriters I've talked to, and you trust certain people, and you got to really, really trust somebody to send them something, especially something that you might not even be finished with. So if just for future reference for anyone out there, like if someone sends you some of their work, be kind, be very kind, because like you have no idea how much they're trusting you. So just don't try to change it. Just be encouraged.
It's kind of like getting a haircut. They're like, how is it? You're like, perfect.
Yeah, just be encouraging. That's all I can say. Just be encouraging.
So you have a handful of people you send music out to?
Yes, and you're one of them.
Do you have people in your life that you do want feedback, like real feedback? Does your wife give you like...
You maybe give me real feedback.
Do I? Oh, man. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. The Elvis song.
I pick the people.
I grew up loving Elvis.
I pick the people who are too kind.
I'm sorry, man.
To be mean.
I forgot
and
about
you're
that.
You're one of them.
You didn't talk to me for a while after that.
I don't send it to anyone. Don't be truly honest with me. I don't want to know the truth. I just want reinforcement, positive reinforcement. I'm kidding.
Oh, so you wrote a new song. I don't know if it's out, but Till the End.
Till the End.
Man, it's a great song.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Your music is
I'm
maturing.
I'm going to be recording that pretty soon. So.
Well, whatever you sent to me sounds great. And your music is maturing.
Thanks.
I mean, you have, back in the day, you had Well, back in the day, you also had a 12-pack in a paper bag.
Yes.
You go from all this to like,
well,
till the end.
Believe it or not, I've always said 12-pack. Funny songs are the hardest songs to write. That's why people are like, who's one of the best songwriters you think? I'll be like, Ray Stevens. I was like the guy who wrote all those funny songs back in the day. I was like, that guy was a genius. I was like, it's hard enough just to make things rhyme. But to make things funny, to where people will just bust out laughing and rhyme. I'm like, you're talking mixing comedy and music. I'm like, man, that's it's amazing. But that's why I've always kind of been proud of 12-pack. I mean, as naughty as it may be, and I've even played private parties where people come up and, we love you, Kurt. We adore you. But could you please not play 12-pack? Our preacher is here. And I'm like, you got it, my brother. Of course.
You're not calling your mom and be like, Mom, 12-pack.
Oh,
check
God.
This song
my
out.
Mom, yeah. I love the love. She does not love
you this. Wrote a kind of a silly song for Zach Brown.
Yes, yes. I wrote one with Zach. I was up on the roof, and I was cleaning out my gutters, and I got my butt started ringing, and I pulled out my phone, and it said FaceTime Zach Brown. And I was like, he's got to be butt dialing me. And I hit it, and he's not to tattle on him, but he's driving. It's probably on some country road. But it was like, he goes, Chert. And that's what he always called me, Chert. And he was like, just started a song. I sent it to you and Brad Paisley, whoever gets the best one back gets it. I was like, well, I guarantee you, Brad is more busy than me. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm like, you got it, brother. So I jumped right on the thing. I'm like, absolutely. I was like, Sabrina, I got to go to the grocery store. What do we need? She goes, we need milk. I'm like, I had that thing written by the time I got back from the grocery store. That's how fired up I was. I was like, I got to write.
But you're driving and writing this
thing? Oh, yeah.
You just remember everything?
Just writing it in my head. Because he had already written the chord progression.
Yeah.
And he had like a verse in the chorus. He was like, I need a second verse right here. I was like, bam. He was like, I need a funny story and I need it to rhyme. He goes, I know you're good at that. And I was like, you got it, man. Within the hour, I had it sent back. And he wrote back perfect. I was like, bam. I was like, and that got me on an actual Zach Brown record.
You went to a release party and everything. I remember.
I did. It was awesome, man.
You're drinking Zach. You're drinking this wine.
I did. I had this wine that day. I did.
That's funny. Picturing like you getting angry at Paisley. You're like, you ain't gonna get this one. You know what I mean?
You're mine, Paisley. You taught me to be. Who's Kurt?
So I got these props. I haven't done in a while. Look at this.
Taylor.
Who's this guy?
Oh, Taylor Conley. Oh, I saw him today.
He's recovering from...
He is. Me and Sabrina went to Taylor's house today, and we cleaned up his kitchen.
His pool?
Yes, he just had surgery.
He did have surgery, okay.
He just had surgery.
I didn't know what you were cleaning up.
No, we cleaned up his whole house, man, everything. And God bless him. He's just had his surgery. He's in pain, but he's building back up, and man, we're just and it's awesome how the fans have gotten. He's my percussionist.
He's a great percussionist.
Yes, and my
very solid backup singer.
Great backup singer.
He's awesome, man.
Like when you see Kurt, you're like, you know, you associate like you see Kurt and Taylor, you know, and so it's like, man, he's kind of my right hand man, although he's always on my left, you know. That's what I always say. But still, man, but he's. We're getting him back, and we're going to get Taylor back with us.
I love that you're posting videos with him, too,
yeah,
on absolutely. Social media. People should follow you on there. How did you meet him, by the way? Wasn't it church or something?
Yeah, it was. He went to college in Memphis. I know that. And he was schooled in history, anything about Christian history, man, that dude can tell you like everything about it. And he got schooled in that. And he was down there working at a church, and they brought him out to hear me at Cheeseburger in Paradise. And dude, I'm telling you, here's the thing, I can safely say this now and not offend anybody, but Cheeseburger in Paradise in Dunwoody, dude, you could have had Springsteen playing there, and no one would have cared. I'm telling you, dude, I played all night, and nobody gave a crap. And I was, I mean, just nobody gave it. And I'm up there, but the church I was going to, Taylor came with them. And he was over there, and he knew how to play some chords on the guitar and stuff like that. And I met him that night, and what you call it? I called him one night. I was like, "Well, I gotta go play Cheeseburger again." And I'd gotten to know Taylor a little bit. I was like, "Taylor, you want to go with me and strum along?" And he was like, "Absolutely!" And he came with me and
strum. So he's playing guitar.
He's playing guitar with me. And then I was like, and I could tell he just absolutely just fell in love with it and was just. Yeah, I knew the passion because it was the same passion I had whenever I was chasing Jay Drummonds. Taylor's eyes. I saw he had a hunger for it. And just, I was like, man, this dude just, he wants it. So, and I told him, I was like, dude, go, you need to be playing percussion. That's what I need. That's something I need.
Did he play percussion?
No.
That's crazy.
He went and got him.
Learned?
No, he did. That shows if you want it bad enough.
Because he's great.
Yes. If you want it bad enough, dude, you can, and you have enough drive and the time to put into it, then you can do it. Within 2 weeks, he was out playing a gig with me. At first, you know, a couple of the owners were like, I'm not sure about that. But then it got to the point where it was like, dude.
Yeah, where you're like, he's never played before.
It adds something. It does add something. People can dance. Like, people can move whenever you boom, boom, boom. Well, I'm like, it's like people can move now. That is like, whenever you're doing it, just you and a guitar, they can move. They can move a little, but you can see. Music, we can see them struggling sometimes. But you put a drum, it's like.
Yes.
It's like, yes. It adds the heartbeat.
It is the heartbeat.
It is.
Yeah, he's part of your band.
Of course.
You got a great band, by the way. You know, we're talking about your drummer, Derek.
Derek. Oh, God. And Derek's been filling in for Taylor while he's my full drummer.
Does he play percussion?
He does. And he's a great percussionist. But it's like he plays Monday nights at the Select with me. And he comes in and plays the cajon. And, dude, it's like, and as much as he loves the cajon, he wants that kit so bad. He wants to. Dude, that's...
It's like animal, you know?
Yes. Yeah. It's turning... Yes.
He's so nice, man. I love that.
Oh, he's a
super cool guy. Always great to me.
Best.
I never want to piss him off because I think he can fight.
He could fight.
And I can't
wonderfully.
Fight.
Wonderfully. Dude, he's our...
Fighter.
Like, dude, if any time, like, you're... If thank God, I have a peaceful personality. I can make peace about anybody. If you have a problem with me, you got a problem. I mean, but dude, if somebody is just won't get out of your face or anything like somebody's drunk and just won't leave you alone.
I'm you got
like,
security and the drummer.
Well, I think it's time you met my drummer. I'm sorry, but I don't like to watch this kind of stuff. So
I'm gonna go outside.
I'm gonna go. Remember the movie Back to School?
Yes, with Rodney
Dangerfield. Yeah. But it was a scene in there where he was sitting with the college boys got in his face and they were like, it's starting trouble with Rodney. He goes, oh no, I don't get physical. I get upset, and when I get upset. He gets physical. He points it loose and he crushes one of those napkin things. Like, oh, mercy. Yeah, that's Derek.
Yeah, that's
where we're like, I think it's time you met our drummer.
You know what that reminds me of is back in the day, we keep saying that because that's just ingrained in my brain. Kurt was a black belt.
No, I was.
And, well, we were young. Like,
I still am. I don't guess they took
well,
it.
Well, we were at a particular place.
I won't say demoted.
You didn't get demoted. Yeah.
Even though I don't stretch regularly. I couldn't even kick high very much.
But we were at a place. We don't have to say where, but we were at a nice place.
Yeah, very.
And someone was kind of mean to me. And I said, this dude over there said this to me. And Kurt goes, where is he?
Oh,
I was like, no. Oh.
Looking back now.
You show me him.
I know. I'll kill him. I know. We'd been
drunk. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
We'd been drunk.
Really? Yeah. I don't know.
We'd been drunk. That guy would probably beat me.
I drove Kurt home, and I was driving. What's crazy is that. Do you remember this? And you said, I said, all right, I don't know where you live. And so you fall asleep. I'm like, do I turn? And I'm like, Kurt. Kurt, shaking him. And we went to your like childhood house. I was sleeping in like next to your like your little bed. Remember that? Yeah, your parents were home.
My mom. She kept my room, so dude, funny, after I left.
We showed up drunk. He's like, shh.
Oh, yeah, because my mom, she kept my house like the same after.
Oh, God, it looked like a little kid's room.
It did, dude. And my mom went, dude, I adore my mother.
Your mom's like, the best.
She is, dude.
Yeah.
She's the greatest.
Oh, speaking of this, look at this. Here's your mom.
No, hey. My mom's been battling cancer lately. She's been dying, but she's going to her last chemo treatment on Tuesday. And
Yeah, that's great, man. We've been praying for her. Mom's so sweet.
She is. And I got my brother walking. I got my brother walking.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, he's walking. I was like, did something happen?
He's lost a lot of weight. Oh, okay. He's looking real good.
Oh, that's great. I can you get me walking? How do you get him walking?
Dude, just like,
he's like, get up and walk.
Him. Believe it or not.
Nag me, dude.
I probably shouldn't even tell this, but I had a dream one night, and it was a horrible nightmare, and it was just, and my brother, he was in a room, and apparently there was a bear in that room, and I could hear him screaming, and I was like trying to get to him, and I could hear him screaming, I couldn't get to him, and I was like, and I woke up, and I was worried about him. I was like, that's trying to tell me something, and he had gotten a little overweight, and I was like, brother, you got to start walking for me, please do it for me. That dream's and I told him about the dream. And dude, he ended up start walking.
That's amazing.
Dude.
So he does.
So I had to
walk every day.
Scotty, I had this dream the other night.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
The dream was
you look great, Scotty. You look great. But sure enough, he started walking. I'm so
That's
proud
great.
Of him. And my mama, since dad passed, it's just, the three of us left and we still get together. And lately we've been bonding over chemo treatments and, before that, we were bonding over lunches. The three of us, we still get together.
That's amazing. So you just spend time with her doing the treatments and just reminisce. Your mom's awesome.
Oh, dude.
She's always still going.
She's the sweet.
She used to be a hairstylist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She cut your hair.
She cut hair. Oh, yeah. I had the mullet, dude.
You did have the mullet.
All her fault.
You should bring it back.
It's all my fault. This is at the dairy spot, by the way.
I remember that place. Yeah.
It's in Claremont.
Yeah. I've been there.
Dude. Slaw. Do you like slaw?
No.
You don't like slaw?
I don't like slaw. Slaw's like for old people.
No.
I like french fries.
Old. Slaw burgers and slaw dogs.
Oh, there you go.
Dairy spot.
Yeah.
Dude, they're so good.
Do you guys walk before you eat the slaw or after?
If you walk regularly, you can't eat dairy spot on the
regular. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it'll kill you. But as treat yourself to the dairy spot.
Yes, man.
Dude.
I love your brother, too. He's so cool. You guys used to jam?
Yes, he still jams with me. He plays acoustic guitar now with me.
Oh,
he played bass
good.
Back in the day. I was like, I need a bass player. And Kevin was like, Kevin, will you be my bass player?
Dude, your whole band never plays instruments. You're like,
I know. He was like, will you show me how to do it? I was like, yes. And I was like, I got to learn how to play bass. That's why I went and figured out how to play the root chords. I was like, okay, here's what you do. Boom. But anyway, sure enough. And then he got better as time went on,
it's great.
Yeah, I just take the people I love and say, all right, go learn electric guitar. Or like, here we go.
You're like this. You're like Oprah. You're like, you need to walk and you need to walk. You know what I mean?
No,
you did that.
It's horrible. I try not to be that guy. I'm into jujitsu.
Yeah.
And if you're not into it, you're an idiot.
Here's a selfie.
Don't be that guy.
You're not that guy.
But walking is,
lost a lot.
It's something you got to do anyway. So why not? Why not just put in a few extra steps today? I mean, like, you got to do it anyway. And, like, I love it.
Yeah.
I can't recommend walking it.
Walking's good.
I love walking.
I talk about your fans because you have, like, this core group I love. They need to have, like, a fan group, like Amy, Lucia, and...
Oh, they're awesome.
And I don't know. I see the same people every time I go around.
Dude, I played Dixie Tavern last night, and it was packed. And I played it on... It was called a New Year's Eve at the Dixie, and it was because the Eve fell on Sunday, and they weren't open. So we threw a big party. I was like, maybe somebody will show up.
Fake countdown?
Dude. Yeah, we even did the fake countdown. They broke out champagne. Dude, it was awesome.
That's amazing.
It was cool. But I was like, maybe they'll show up. Dude, it was so packed. I'm like, all right.
That's
and then, like, a week and a half later, I'm playing Dixie again. I'm like, I was like, maybe we'll have somebody show up, dude, packed again. I was like, man, they've been, and I'll be honest with you, brother, ever since, I think it was ever since COVID, it's not that anything good came from COVID at all. God, not that I would ever say that, but I got to tell you, brother, whenever I try to look for the best in anything I can, and I tell you, whenever everything shut down and no musician could play, and I started doing those Kurt's Corner,
yes,
quarantine shows. Sabrina set up a corner of the house. We had this tiny house, and she sets up this corner for me, sets my sign up, and gets me, my lighting correct. And she goes, "You're going to do this." You know, like at the beginning, for me, everything is Sabrina. She's always the one like, "You're going to do this." And I'm like, okay. And then I just go out there and do it, and everybody loves it. And I'm like, my wife.
You really trust her, yeah. Yeah.
Dude, she's always nailed it. And but anyway, I don't know. They really kind of they all come and supported me before. But I don't know. That kind of brought everybody together.
United everybody.
For some reason. And then it was just like whenever we could finally start playing again, everybody was like, man, there's nothing more. Of course there's more important things, but I can't stress how important your local live music really is. It's just like the people you can go out and watch and like not pay $80. So you go out and you come to Dixie, you pay $10 to see us. And like, you know, and it's good quality stuff. And it's, you know, it's so, people, I think the little break from entertainment helped. Yeah. It really helped me out, and they were like, they missed me. Mm-hmm. And they all started, ever since, you know, the quarantine and things got back, you know, I've been busier than ever in my career. And I've gotten nothing but gratitude for my fans, for banding together. And
they love me, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they make it to where I can make a living playing music and not being on the radio. Oh my God, it's amazing. So I can't thank them enough.
Talking about Sabrina, look at this. This is you guys.
Dude, that was the greatest night ever.
That was one of the best nights of my life. What, talk about what happened this night.
We went to New York to see the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And we took all four kids with us. We drove, dude, that is a drive. And man, we were tired, but we're an adventurous family. We love to travel. And here's the thing you might not know. If you go to that, you can go to Central Park and walk through with everybody, and you can see all the floats early. And you can go by and look at them, and they're all under nets. But everybody walks by and looks at them.
That's cool.
And we're like, okay. And Jolene wanted to ice skate in Manhattan so bad, my daughter. And I was like, our only shot is to do the one that's in Central Park. So we go by there, and the line was just so long. And Jolene started to cry, man. And it was just like, man. And we had already planned. We're like, we're going to go to the Empire State Building, which is right here. And just on the way, we go by Rockefeller, where the ice skating rink. And we're like, and Sabrina goes, just for a shot, let me go over here and just ask if we might have a shot again. Because there was a line around that building. She goes, is there any way you can get six in? And that lady goes, it's strange, but six people just canceled. And she goes, we could put you in. She goes, we could get you in here in 2 hours. And she goes, we have a appointment to see the top of the Empire State Building right now. And we went and did that. And if you've ever done the top of the Empire State Building, it's awesome. They're showing like Sleepless in Seattle up there. Great. There's a big old King Kong hand coming through. Yeah. And dude, I kissed her. My son took that picture, and that was one of my favorite pictures. And dude, and as soon as we were done, we ran back down.
Race back.
And we ice skated, and they were putting up the friggin' tree right there while we were ice skating. The one in Home Alone 2. That big tree, they're putting it up right there in front of us as we're skating around.
This sounds like a Hallmark movie.
It was. Yes. And as we're skating around, somebody out there proposed.
Oh.
Dude, it was amazing.
You didn't say, get a prenup.
But dude, that was one of the greatest nights of my life.
Dude, that's a great story.
Dude, thank you for letting me tell that story. Thank you for not letting me
thank you.
Bore you to tears.
Talk about this. You and Sabrina have been together forever. Like, forever. Like, it's high school love, right? Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's amazing. That's awesome.
We've been together since we were born.
Yeah, since we were born.
Well, believe it or not, the night I asked her to be my girlfriend, I drove over to her house, and for some reason, I always relate things to movies, in case you haven't noticed. And
yeah.
You do, too. I can tell.
I love movies.
There's me.
Yeah.
And, but I know music is your thing, but...
I can have movie room over
the greatest basement of all time, by the way.
Say that again.
The greatest basement of
slower.
All time.
Slower. Understand.
The greatest basement of all time. But there's a lot of homage to movies in here, too.
Yep.
I like, and I think that's why you and I have always just hit it off so well.
Absolutely. And,
but I went over to her house that night. I'll never forget it. And I asked her to be my girlfriend. I gave her my class ring. And the movie Death Becomes Her was on. And it was October 19th, and every year on October 19th.
1970.
Trust me, look at these grays. Look at these grays. But every year, till this day, we still watch Death Becomes Her.
Oh, every, that's sweet, man.
Dude,
I know. I know
I know it's
cool.
Corny, but
no,
the older I get.
That's old school.
The older I get, the more I'm okay with corny. Dude, it's just... Dude, if you're going to write music like I write, you better be okay with corny. I'm like, I was talking to a buddy the other day. I was asking him, I was like, and he writes a lot of very artsy stuff. He's incredible. His name's Mark Miller, and just a great local artist and just a great songwriter. If you hear about him, please look him up, Mark Miller. But he writes a lot. And I was asking him, I was like, if you ever want to write with me, and I was like, if you ever need a little cheese on the burger, I was like, I'm your guy. I'm like, because I have a cute way of phrasing and stuff that can, like, put the cheese on there.
Yeah.
Cheese is flavorful.
That's great. You've always encouraged me to be like, be yourself, you know?
Don't, absolutely. Don't be yourself.
I love Sabrina. I do. In my
life.
But this one time, she was really, I'm just kidding. No. There's kind of a butt. I'm just saying, like, no, there's not really.
It's a pretty
She's amazing.
Butt. It's a pretty
it, well, yeah, yeah. You put, it made me feel awkward, man. No, when you proposed to her, that is a great story. Can you just talk a little bit about Jerry Hitchcock?
And Jerry Hitchcock, he lives near you here.
Yeah, and, lives on the lake.
Lives on the lake, Lake Lanier. And whenever I asked her, me and Jerry had it all set. Me and Jerry and Debbie, his wife, and I was going to bring her over, and I was telling him we were going to stop by just for, you know, just... I had to, because Jerry was my boss. Mm-hmm. I was like, we got to stop by there just for a second. And Jerry was going to answer the door. He was going to have like a fancy like tuxedo on and like the thing over. And he's going to lead her to the table and all this stuff. I'm going to, it was going to be great. But what happened? No, he was going to lead her to the dock.
Yeah.
But what happened was this friggin' tornado came and they had a table and all this.
Just blew it off. Right in the lake.
Blew it into the lake, man. So they were like, oh, my God. So they're in there cooking two more steaks. You know, they're in trying to get everything ready. Jerry answers the door, and he has a Budweiser shirt on. I'm like, well, this is not what...
That's
I'm like, well, this isn't what we planned. I'm like... And he's like, can I show you to your table? I'm like, table? I'm like, but anyway, we go in there to the table. And,
oh, that's...
Dude, everything... It's like, if it couldn't go wrong... It went wrong.
What was Sabrina night. Like? Like,
but dude,
okay, like, what's going on?
No.
She probably knew, right?
Dude, no. Dude, there's...
Jerry's like, here's your steak.
No, hey, dude. It was a great night.
It's a great story.
But the thing is, if everything would have went perfect, it wouldn't be the good story that it is now. The thing's...
Good point.
My kids love for me to tell their stories. And I've noticed the best stories they love are the ones of me getting their crap kicked out of me for some reason. They just
they
eat it up, man. I'm like, maybe it's my delivery. I don't know. I'm like, kids, let me tell you about the time I got fired from this job. I'm like, they took me in the back. They're like, yo.
Just beat the crap out of me. I was like, bleeding out of my mouth. They're like, yeah.
Oh, my God. They love it. You know, that.
Your son, which son edits for you? He does some video.
Bo.
Bo. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But Van's really into editing, my second son.
Yeah.
And okay. But Bo has just, He's applied to college. He's graduating this year. He's
graduating this year.
I know.
That's nuts. You gonna be sad?
I was watching Sweet. He had
video.
You had Sweet played.
Yeah. And
I started crying.
I was mad. I was like, cry on camera, dude. Don't cry off.
Dude, thank God
she had a good
makeup on you. Dude, I started crying watching that. My babies are, you know.
That's good you got it captured.
Dude, it captured a moment in time, dude.
Okay. Dude. I got your last prop here. Look at this.
Oh, my God, dude.
Talk about this. Where are you right here? Where is it?
Truist?
Truist Park, yeah.
Truist Park.
Sure. We're sports guys. We should know.
We know all about sports.
I love sports.
Go baseball.
I'm scared. Basketball rules.
Basketball rules. No. I'm a true artist. I do love the Braves. Oh, thank you, God, for the Braves. Because, man, it was the last game before the playoffs right there. And Carrie, who works for me, we work together, and she had been reaching out to that.
She's super nice, by the way. I got to meet her.
Yeah, she's very awesome. So whenever Carrie came to me, she was like, I've been watching you for 8 years. And she goes, I'd just like to help out if I can. Great. I wish you'd have said something 8 years ago. But anyway, but she was like, what's something you would just love to do? I was just like, I would love to sing the national anthem at the Braves game. She goes, let me see what I can do. And, man, within the year, it happened. She was like, October 1st, can you do it? And I was like, yes, absolutely. And I wrote Sabrina. I texted her. I was like, October 1st, national anthem, Braves game.
Oh, God.
And she was like, you have a party that day. I was like, I'll move the party. I was like, I'll move anything.
Screw that party.
That's exactly what I wrote. I didn't want to say that, but I wrote screw the party. But I was like, they will understand. I was like, if they love me, they'll understand. And I hate that phrase, if you love me. But I was like, if they love me, they'll understand. But, dude, I didn't even know they were taking that picture at the time.
Oh, you didn't?
No, at that time, that's a good setup. I was concentrating. They were about to walk me onto the field.
Okay.
And they were already lined up right there, the Braves players. And I was over there just what I'm thinking in my head is don't forget the words.
That's what I was going to ask you. Okay, let's talk about this. How many times you listened to the anthem?
I didn't listen to it at all.
You didn't?
No.
How do you practice?
Just sang it.
You just sang it over and over.
Just sang it.
Now that it's over with, was there a section you're like, that one part?
No. Yes. Well, the truth is I did the song. I did it in a G, I did it in a A flat, but I wish I'd have done it in an A. Because truth is, I wasn't in.
You did a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, amazing.
You have to be a singer. It's like, you know when you're in perfect voice. And whenever something like that comes along, you're like, man, I want to be in perfect voice whenever. Because there's always allergy season and all this stuff going on. And I was still in good voice. But I'd played a Dixie and a wedding. Two doubles, like the day before.
Were you thinking about that the day before?
I found out like a week before. So I was completely exhausted. And I was just like, you know, I didn't drink a drop that week. I was just like, no, I was like, if I fail, it's going to be on me. But that, right there, I'm running. Say, can you see by the dawn's early light? That's what I'm doing right there. I'm like,
you see people flub that line, like certain lines.
Oh, mercy, yes. And that's all you think about is,
do you
like,
zone out when you're singing?
You're sitting there going, don't Roseanne Barr. Don't be the guy that goes viral for going bad, you know.
When you're singing the song, are you thinking, or are you just in the zone? Or, you know what I mean? You just kind of just had to zone out.
It's just people ask me all the time, like, do you get nervous?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I mean, this is a huge deal.
Never, never. That made me nervous. That truly made me nervous. Like, I was really nervous for that.
Your family was all there on the
field? But I played, like, bars and concerts all the time. But that, my family was there.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Everybody can see it.
I got to bring them down on the field with me and, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, my son was playing baseball at the time. So it was just a great day.
Great. Did you meet any players or anything?
Yeah, I walked past them whenever I was like, and they all told me good job and stuff like that.
He did really good, man. I remember I had people.
It was really cool. I got to walk in the basement of the Truist Park.
What's that like?
Oh, just a lot of fancy cars, man. Uh-oh. Yeah, they all have like, you know, the famous players parking like another.
Oh, that's
cool. It's amazing, dude.
I was like,
ooh, cool.
All right, man.
I got one more thing for you. Look at this. You got your very own.
I love it. What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Carl. Carl took that picture.
Carl took the picture. I forgot. Kurt's a huge skateboarder, so we decided
to. Dude.
I ran out of gifts for you. Yeah, look at that.
Dude. Can I have.
All right.
Your wife sent me the logo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Look at that.
Dude. And that was here. And that is my.
You dude. Post that all the time. I took
well,
that
people
from
ask me, they're like, what's your favorite pro? But dude, I'm like that one. I'm like, I dig that picture, man. Always have.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
Carl called a great shot.
And Carl's a man.
Carl.
Carl. Now look at this one. That's it.
Carl.
Dude, man, it's been like 7 years. So I was thinking about this today, like how special it is. And when I first started the show, I didn't want to tell nobody.
You
encouraged me.
Dude, you come so far, dude.
Thank you. Well, you've come far, man.
Well, I mean.
But I just want to thank you for encouraging me. Because I was like, how did I do? And you're like, you did good. And I was like,
did.
I don't think I did
you
good.
You did. You started off great. I mean.
I was sweating.
You've come a long way. I mean, I can tell you're less anxious now. Like doing it. But you even started off good. Man, so
well, I appreciate
you had a nag for it. I could tell. I was like,
I'm glad that you encouraged me.
Who are some of the ones that you watched, if you don't mind?
Which ones? My own interviews?
I don't know. The people. No.
Oh, who am I inspired to watch?
Yeah. Who
music people.
Like people you watched interview your heroes.
Yeah. It's probably Eddie Trunk was the first one.
Okay.
And he's on SiriusXM, but he interviews all these people. Oh, okay. I can tell you. Here's the real answer. Daryl Hall had his own show called Live at Daryl's House.
Yeah.
And he would interview him and play. And I remember watching that going, that I kind of wanted to rip him off. So I was like, okay, I'll interview and play over here. And remember we kind of did that at the beginning? That's what inspired me.
Dude, it's awesome.
But I love interviews. I love music interviews. So, and I remember being on the phone with you and I was like, I kind of want to interview people. Some people may think it's getting weird. And you're like, do it. And I was like, I'll do it. And then you had the song Good Company.
Absolutely.
So you wrote a song.
Yeah. Dude.
And I stole the name. So thanks.
I hate to even say this,
yeah.
But back to a movie, Grumpy Old Men. You remember the part in the movie, he goes, the only things you regret in life are the risks you don't take. So I was like, man, do it, brother. You'll regret not doing it a hell of a lot more than you're going to regret doing it. So
Thank you.
After it, man. And you ended up loving it, and I'm so glad.
Thanks, so man. Glad. Thank you. You too, man. You're awesome, too. And you involved. I don't know. It's like you're cool too, man.
You're cool too.
You did all right. Man, I'm glad you're here every time. You've been on the show more than anybody.
Oh,
so you were, you know,
thank you for
all on the ride. So enjoy the ride, old song.
Ride.
See, dude, thank you for being on the show. 7 years, man.
By the way, one more thing. Mad respect on the
my body.
Of course.
Okay, cool. You too, man.
I love that you're you remember we did the C. Thomas Howell interview.
Oh, C. Thomas Howell, we interviewed right over there.
Yes, it was amazing.
Okay, can I cut you off for 1 second?
Of
He's
course,
the only right interview on. I've ever had where C. Thomas Howell immediately leaves. It's like, thanks for being on the show. All right, I got to roll. Remember, he got out.
He always does.
He's like, okay,
he always
bye.
Does. I was like,
see
me
you, man.
You know?
No,
dude, but dude, just.
I'm sorry, keep going.
No, you're just, you're fit. It was a great interview.
Oh,
truly a great interview.
You guys were the
best. I can't
recommend
it enough. No, you were awesome. And just the things you brought up, like you had the posters, but like.
Yeah, movie posters.
Yes, but like you, like. like
he went blackface.
Like Steely Man.
Yeah.
But like Steely Man.
Oh,
I
yes.
Like, I was like, man, I'd be like, can you not bring that up? But
yeah.
I was
so,
like, Scotty, awesome.
I kind of roasted C. Thomas Howell. I was like, what the hell
like,
are you
man,
thinking right
cool.
there? You know what I mean?
But it was cool, man. I love it.
Thank you, man. That was great. I'm glad you helped work that out.
Was,
and you got to jam with him. I mean,
no,
you
of course.
With him.
We got to write together. And he's got a song. A song that we wrote together is going to be in a movie. Just found that out recently.
Wow.
It's a movie called Ride about some rodeo people on the side.
Oh, that's amazing.
Him and I wrote about his dad is going to be in that movie.
Really? Okay, well, I got to check that out.
Please, sure.
I saw C. Thomas Howell in Old Dads, the movie Old Dads. I was like, there's C. Thomas Howell.
Yes, and he's doing great on Obliterated now on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Huge. Like, he's got a big part in that.
Okay.
Full frontal nudity. I was like, yo, Tommy, yo.
Full frontal, I wasn't expecting that.
That's what I hear. I hear he's naked. From the previews, he looks naked.
Yeah, well, we definitely got to watch that now.
We're binging it tonight, baby. Obliterated.
Well, it just came up right now.
I love it.
Speaking of,
let's watch it.
Thank you for being on the show, man.
Oh, brother, I love you. Thank you for this.
Thank you. You gotta give it back to me, actually.
Do I have?
Yeah.
What's mine?
No, I'm just fine. Hey, man, thank you for being on the show,
brother. I love you.
We're gonna have you on many more times.
Please.
Yeah. You're the best.
I love you.
I love you too. Especially your body. Oh,